Austin, some journalists have been doing the math, and at the current rate of daily vaccinations statewide, where does that put us as far as hitting that number?
Well, Kristen, last week the Department of Health said the state was 130,000 people short of hitting 70%. By my math, if 10,000 people are getting the shot per day, and that's the number they gave us, it's going to take 13 days to get to 130,000. That would put us at 70% on June 29th, the day before the 30th. And of course, the governor said that June 30th is the reopening day, whether the state's at 70% or not. If the state gets to 70% sooner, then it can open sooner. But, you know, this is really hard to predict because there are so many variables. For instance, we don't know if the vaccine lotteries are having much impact. If anything, they may have helped stop or slow a downward trajectory, kind of a loss of interest on the part of people in terms of getting the vaccine rather than pump up interest. The governor typically holds a weekly news conference on Thursday. That's when I would expect to hear an update. At last check, the state was at 67.8% of people 16 and up initiating the vaccine.
Well, and June 30th isn't just the day Washington is expected to reopen fully. The state's eviction moratorium is also scheduled to end. What's the government doing to make sure people don't end up on the street?
Well, on the one hand, the legislature has approved about $1 billion in rent relief as part of the budget process earlier this year. That's federal relief money. Even so, there's a lot of concern that $1 billion won't be enough and that it won't get to everyone who needs it in time to head off a wave of evictions. That is, if the eviction moratorium is allowed to expire at the end of the month. Governor Inslee has said he's aware of concerns and is looking at options, but he hasn't been specific. Here's what he said last Thursday.
We are concerned about the transition period where these programs are not yet up and running in either regard, including mediation systems. So we are concerned about this. We are looking for some potential solution. We have not made any final decisions on this.
Again, we may hear more from him with more details later this week. Meanwhile, the Black Members Caucus in the legislature has written the governor a letter calling on him to extend the moratorium again, borrowing a line the governor often uses. They said, "We're at the two-yard line. Now is not the time for us to leave families without this crucial safety net." They say that families of color will be most impacted by the moratorium ending. Of course, the city of Seattle has already extended its moratorium until September 30th.
Well, the governor was talking about those rent relief programs. What do we know about how those programs are working?
Well, it's not altogether clear. I mean, the governor referred to programs not being up and running. The money the legislature appropriated goes to the Department of Commerce, which then sends it out to nonprofits to issue the grants. I started looking around online last night, and I'll admit, I was pretty quickly confused. I mean, I found out-of-date web pages. It was difficult to sort of find which program was in effect now and where to get the money. My sense is if you haven't started this process, navigating it isn't going to be easy. And we also know that landlords and tenants have to kind of work hand in glove on this, and relationships between landlords and tenants right now may be fairly frayed.
And I also wanted to pivot, Austin, into something you reported on our air yesterday. There's a police use of force bill taking effect on July 25th, that's already having unintended consequences on folks with mental health needs. Tell us how.
Right. So this new law is designed to reduce how and when police use force. It limits when force can be used. It tells police to take into account whether the person is vulnerable or compromised, if they have, for instance, a mental health condition and are in crisis. It even says be prepared to walk away if there's no imminent threat or crime being committed. The issue that seems to be developing, Kirsten, is that police often help detain and transport people who are in a mental health crisis but haven't committed a crime. So this would be a civil detention. But now police are saying they're not sure they can or should continue to provide that service, because it could result in a use of force incident if the person doesn't want to go to the hospital. So, in fact, today, the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs is holding a webinar on this. Lawmakers are getting involved. Lawmakers are saying this wasn't the intent of the law to have police officers walk away from these situations. But it seems like as this is being implemented, there are a lot of questions and a lot of lack of clarity about what this will look like going forward. And if the police aren't going to be doing that service, what systems need to be filled to create that or to fill that gap?
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.